Welcome to Heroes Asylum, everybody. This is Captain Mike, and I am here, like always, with my buddy, my partner in crime in this crazy show that we've been doing for almost a year and a half. Kane,
almost,
man, how you
almost
doing?
Almost 2 years, yeah. What's up, buddy? Happy Sunday?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Happy Sunday. How have you been?
Sunday. I've been pretty good, actually. Just, doing the same old every weekend, which could get a little bit boring, but, you know, I try to spice it up every now and then. If we're not doing our midnight movies, you know, I'll organize a little bit of a Zoom meeting, see how everybody's doing. So
yeah,
check those out on my personal Facebook page.
Cocktails with Kane, as he likes to call it.
Yes, do it every Saturday or every other Saturday.
Yeah, we actually had fun last time. We did a little trivia thing. I think if we can work more of that out and actually flip that over to this page, I think that would be fun for just people just to goof around.
Yeah.
They don't have to, be able to answer directly to us, obviously, because you can't do that unless you're live, but we can do this and have an asylum trivia event or something like that on a Friday or Saturday.
I think we had one a while ago with Star Wars, which was really fun.
Yeah, it was a closed one to some of our close friends. We all had fun on that one.
Yeah, I won, so it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll have to go back and see that one.
Don't be a hater. Come on, just admit the truth. There's nothing wrong.
So, guys, we have a sad week so far this week. And we had three losses. One was a very big heavy hitter for the Marvel community. We had another one that was one that hit a lot of our childhood. If you're in my generation, maybe a little bit younger or even older, too, because this person was around for a while. And then also a sibling of an actress that's a pretty famous one with us. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into it. The first one we have actually is Chadwick Boseman. I'm sure everybody has seen it all over Twitter, all over Instagram, the passing of Chadwick. Just a shocker for me. I'm pretty sure Kane was the same way. I mean, a lot of news came out about his life and things that he did outside of the movie industry that we were not aware of. But he had been battling colon cancer for, goodness, I think they said since 2016.
Yeah, right when he got the Black Panther role, apparently.
Yeah, and he's been continuing on. I mean, I'm surprised. I'm watching or seeing a lot of the clips and people posting pictures of him going to these Make-A-Wish foundations with these other kids, you know, that they're going through cancer as well. And he's right there smiling, cheering them up, even though he's going through this hard time in his life.
Yeah. I mean, the guy had amazing strength. I mean, literally, he played a king and he acted like a king. I guess it's the best compliment I can give the guy. For a career that was kind of short, I mean, he literally didn't get his big breaks in films till 2013, I believe, which is when he started coming up. I mean, he did 42. He did Marshall, which is just the story of the Thurgood Marshall, first Supreme Court justice, which actually a really good film. Get On Up, he was James Brown. And such a small sample size that he had, very impactful, I guess is the best way I could say. Those films were powerful. He played these prominent black leaders, black characters. And of course, he topped it off with playing T'Challa. It's just amazing. And to lose somebody like that, especially now when he probably just hit his stride, is hurtful. But, you know, as you said before, nobody knew. I mean, there was some things, rumblings going on for a while. There's a picture of him that he's very thin and people saying that, oh, he's just training for a film. And of course, that didn't turn out to be the case. And then the news broke, I believe it was Friday or Saturday. And then, you know, it's a hard one.
Yeah,
not only for Marvel, but, you know, overall. I mean, like you just said, he's done so much. And while he was battling this awful disease, it's just a testimony to him. So,
yeah, and also testimony. I mean, something you and I mentioned or we were talking about earlier when we first heard about it. But you were like, oh, I didn't realize he had been married. Actually, he got married last year, knowing everything was coming up at to a singer, Tyler Simone. Lead word. And so they got married last October, so it's almost been a year for them. But they were kind of keeping it hush hush and they just wanted it between them. Like you were saying, you did not know that he was, married, and a lot of people didn't know. They did a very private ceremony.
No, yeah, like, he kept his private life literally private. Kind of reminds me of the old school movie stars back in the 30s, like how they kept their lives, you know, whatever that you saw in films, what you saw on film, and that's it. Like, you didn't know anything they did outside except for a couple tabloids here and there, what they were doing, but that's it. He was a very private dude, and it's just shock, I guess is the word I'll use, just shock.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, like I said, I mean, nobody knew. Well, nobody, I can't say nobody knew. People knew, but it wasn't an announcement or anything that was known. And he was continuing pushing forward. I mean, last year we did have the announcement from Kevin Feige about, you know, Black Panther 2 was scheduled to come out May 22nd. So I don't know if even Marvel knew the urgency of where he was, or maybe at that moment, a year ago, August 19th, 2019. That was when Kevin, you know, announced that, you know, that the director, you know, Ryan Coogler was going to be, you know, coming back for that, and, you know, gave the release date and everything. Of course, you know, this is pre-COVID and everything, but yeah, it's like, so I don't know if how much they knew or they didn't know as far as how serious he was with it. I can definitely speak to experience with my own personal life with cancer. You can be doing great and seeming healthy, and then all suddenly that it just takes the body over so quickly. Both my parents passed away, different types of cancer, but, you know, one moment they're fine, they seem to be, you know, not fine, but, you know, they're obviously they're struggling with something, but then just the body just can give out, and, you know, you're just surprised and shocked at how quickly they can turn. I mean, my father had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and he literally went 6 years. You know, from the time he had his surgery, every 6 months, the doctors are telling him, well, you've got 6 months to live. You've got six. And then the next 6 months go by. No, you've got 6 months to live. He went 6 years with that prognosis from the doctors every single time. And then literally I went in with him for one of his appointments. And the doctor's like, no, you got a week. And like that doctor was spot on. I mean, it can happen that quick. So. Definitely, it's, you know, it's shocking. I understand his family's feelings and everything for such a loss, you know, and you know, like I said, we hear it here this time. Definitely throw our condolences out there. I find it a slight bit tasteless that there are some sites out there that are actually like literally the day of his passing. They're like already rushing. They're not showing tribute or showing any love for him. They're like, oh, I guess Siri is going to be the next. I was like, man, really? That's a little tasteless. And I'm not on board with that. The couple of those sites I actually had respect for there for a while. But after that kind of reaction, I was kind of like disheartened by that.
That was I don't want to name the site.
I'm not naming the sites. I don't need that kind of drama.
I'll just say one particular site that I read. It was like, oh, what are they going to do now? I'm like, guy just died. I mean, I think they could, you know, they're not worried about Black Panther 2 right
now. Not really, no. So just, you know, just show the honor and just do exactly what they did. There was a lot of the Marvel community, the actors, directors have, you know, shown their respects on YouTube and Twitter, and you know, and it's been out there. In fact, I think his Twitter page has now received the highest like Twitter likes. I think is the word verbiage I'm looking for. That
58.1 million. Or
yeah,
something.
And it ranks up. Yeah, number. and it was not from him. It was from his family with the picture that you guys are seeing right now, you know, up here. But they had a couple of paragraphs just about his life and everything that's happened. And so it's he definitely had an interesting life, especially starting off. I don't know. Most people may not realize that it was Denzel Washington actually that got him into acting school through a. So not a scholarship program, but trying to remember the other term for it. But Denzel, you know, put money into this, you know, the scholarship program of sorts, and he's the one that signed up for it. When Chadwick got his first nomination or first award, he actually thanked Denzel and said he would not be there for Denzel. So, you know, it kind of shows, you know, that he also could understand, you know, a celebrity giving back, and I think that's where a lot of his interaction with the children and the Make-A-Wish programs, you know, came from, because he just always wanted to give it back.
Yeah, well, rest in peace, King T'Challa, man. Just rest in peace. Yes,
Wakanda forever. Our next one, this one definitely hits a home for, again, a certain generation, I think. But we have the creator, or co-creator, for Scooby-Doo. Sorry, I got to play some music for this one. Joe Ruby passed away. Natural causes for Joe. He was at 87 years old. Known for working with Hanna-Barbera through the 60s, 70s, and part of the 80s. He was a co-creator for Scooby-Doo with Ken Spears. Ken is still with us, by the way, if anybody is curious. But he joined in with Hanna-Barbera. And not only did Scooby-Doo, he also introduced Dino-Mutt, Dog Wonder, Jabberjaw, among the other ones.
Jabberjaw. Yeah. I don't remember Jabberjaw.
Yeah, they created the Barkleys, Houndcats. There's a whole list of the ones that he also created. Also, Ruby and Spears production produced animated series for Saturday morning cartoons, Fang Force, Plastic Man, Comedy Adventure, Thundar the Barbarian. I think you and I were talking about that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Saturday Supercade, Mr. T, Alvin and the Chipmunks, Superman. I mean, these are just all that if anybody's into what we're into and what, you know, if you're interested in this site and the podcast, definitely if you're in our age group, younger or older, definitely somebody that has influenced you or at least help you grow up.
Yeah, it's a big part. Like I said, big part of an era that he was a part of that he helped create. And it's another loss. I mean, 87 is a long, good life.
Yep.
I think we could all hope to live that long and be productive like he still was. I'm not sure if he was still doing anything at the time.
I don't believe so. I don't see any retirement date or anything like that. But I mean, nice. A lot of his work. Let's see, 91 Turner. They reissued. Yeah, that's all that says in here. It doesn't say anything about him continuing work, but I don't think at 87, especially a lot of the artists, they're with how they're drawing and everything, their hands definitely are going to get tired. I'm surprised to see Neil Adams still doing his daily. He does it daily on Facebook. I love watching him doing daily on the Facebook where he'll just sit there and free draw characters. You can shoot him a message saying, "Hey, I will pay this much for you to draw this," and he'll boop, do it right there live for you.
Yeah, I love those Neil Adams drawings that he just does, and off the whim. And I like a lot of the money that he gets. He kind of, I think, donates it to charity or some kind of COVID fund. I'm not sure.
I think they try to do different charities each time. I don't think it's the same one every time.
Yeah. But it's amazing how quick he does. He just like, he's done. I mean, just so the true artist. I mean,
yeah.
I think that's a ton of stuff on his Facebook page. So
check that out. That's Facebook page. Yeah, I've been signed up with him for a while. I think from one of the last cons I went to that he was at, I had heard about it. And I'm like, oh, I got to tune into this and check this out. So our next one actually comes from a sister of a famous actress, but she was a big part of one of the bigger movies of this actress's career. But we have Linda Hamilton's twin sister, Leslie Hamilton, Fries, dies at 63. Seeing here, I think she had cancer. Unfortunately, I'm not finding exactly what kind of cancer. She unexpectedly passed away, according to this. She was actually the twin. She's the twin sister of Linda Hamilton from Terminator 2. She actually starred in that with her in the few scenes where you actually see Linda Hamilton, you see the T-1000 turning into Linda Hamilton. Yeah. That's actually her twin sister. And if you guys see the picture that's up here right now, sometimes twins, when they get older, they sort of start not being twins so much anymore. But in this one, no, these two ladies are like literally identical. And so she played the double for her in T2. And
I think she wasn't she like a nurse as well?
She was also a nurse and part. Yeah, okay. She was a nurse, a hospice nurse, actually. She's it's definitely a loss for Linda. T2 was a very big movie for my generation and a lot of other ones.
Yeah,
T2
without T2, there's no Avatar. That's the way I look at it. I mean, you need.
Oh, was it T2's fault? Is that who we need to blame? Because
just played T2 for Avatar.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you like those movies, that basically was Genesis. Of that CGI, that melting or liquid metal thing that I forgot what they called it. It was a particular name they had for it. But that was the beginning of that, and that melded into Avatar, right. And then so on and so forth. But
she is fairly young, 63 when she passed away. So I mean, she's not an actress or anything like that. But I believe for me and for a lot of people, T2 was a big movie for us. at that time, and you know, she played a big part of it. And then, of course, like I said, she was, you know, the sister of Linda Hamilton, who has had a very great career.
Story career. That's what I look at it. One of the best female icons, her on that era, was her and Sigourney. They were huge back then.
Yeah, those were our female, you know, action stars. You know, everybody talks about the action stars nowadays, the female action stars nowadays, and it's like, you guys, we had those stars. We had those hard female, you know, actresses out there. Yes, the behind the scenes things in Hollywood, you know, was pretty poor, but we still were getting those iconic, you know, female, strong female characters to look up to, even during that time. And you know, to have, you know, Sigourney or in Linda, especially in the early times, you know. And again, you got to thank James Cameron. We'll have to thank James Cameron at least for that. I won't thank him for Avatar, but I will definitely thank him for pushing strong female characters early in his career and early in our, you know, in our lives. Because I always recognize, you know, that, you know, seeing, you know, Linda Hamilton as, you know, Wonder Woman early on, and, you know, in the, you know, late 70s, Bionic Woman. I mean, yes, the male characters, you know, were more prolific, but those female characters were there, and when they were there, they just stood out massively. Yeah,
they did. They made impact. So,
so.
So, you know, once again, I guess the thoughts and prayers go out to the Hamilton family right now.
Yeah, definitely. So, what the with that, we'll just, you know, just want to send our condolences out to all the families, and we will, you know, you guys will be missed, and hopefully, you know, we won't have to do this for a while.
Yeah.
This section. Yeah. I did avoid our normal music because Kane gets emotional during those songs. Yeah. During that song. Next, we actually did a couple reviews. Guys, this has been a like dead week. As soon as the DC fandom was over, like the news this week just went ghost. Like nothing new came out.
Yeah, I think we were struggling to find stuff until you actually came up with an idea last night.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, let's just go with that.
Yeah, so what we're going to do, Kane and I, there are two movies that actually dropped this week. One is not The New Mutants. I'm going to review that next week. I actually am planning to go to the movies next week. And so, yeah, I'll definitely have a review for that for you guys. And then hopefully Kane will find some time to go out there and check it out as well so we can kind of tag team it. But two movies other than that can't drop this week. One was a direct-to-DVD. Or a VOD, as Kane likes to say. another one was also sort of a direct. I think the other one was released a little bit out into the theaters.
I think it was limited release in the film and then went straight to streaming.
So the first one is, and actually something that Kane and I have been looking forward to since the ending of the DC Universe animated series with the last one was, you know, Justice League, The Dark Justice League with the Apocalypse War. If nobody's seen that, it ends with Flash taking a run. And we all know what happens when Flash takes a really long run. Timelines change. And this movie is supposed to be the first of that new universe. So it's Man of Steel, Man of Tomorrow. And I loved it. You were correct on the animation is a little weird. Reminds me a moment of, have you ever seen Archer?
Yes, it's very Archer-like.
Reminds me a little bit of that and a little bit of anime. It's like this weird, interesting blend. I thought the storyline was great. The only issue I think I will have with this was them turning Parasite into a kaiju. That was my only...
Yeah.
I was like, I've never seen Parasite become Godzilla. Okay.
He did look like very Godzilla.
That moment over the bridge, I'm like, come on. I've seen that. I know that movie. That one I was kind of like disappointed on. But the rest of it, it is a new universe. It is a new world. I liked it. I liked the voice actors. I thought, once you get past the animation, and it's just new animation. Just, you know, we're all human. We all have a little issue of getting over something new. That's not our norm. I think probably my favorite is actually Martian Manhunter, his style. I like this style better than the other ones.
Yeah, he's more Martian Manhunter, I would think. I think more in the other universes, I guess you can call that the new 52 verse.
That was all 52,
I kind of consider him like a background character. He was barely even there. I mean, I can't even think of a movie that he was in.
Oh, no, he was always around. Yeah, he was always around. He was there just as he's always been, this background character, but he interacted. I'm trying to remember the one. Was it War? No, it wasn't War. It's the one where they break into Batman's cave and find out how to kill everybody.
Oh, the Tower of Babel storyline. Well,
I can't remember.
I think it's Justice League Doom or something.
It's Doom. Yes, thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Justice League Doom.
Yeah, that's right. Because Batman's holding his boomerang. It's got everybody's reflection on it. That one, he's in there quite a bit because it's reflected. It's concentrating on each individual one, and then the other ones he does kind of come and go. He's not always a main character. But he's never been a main character. I mean, when you really look at any Justice League, animated or anything like that, he's just never been a main character. But I dug him. I liked Ma and Pa Kent. I thought their treatment of them was kind of cool, that they're a little hipper. You know, it's always fun to see the old folks being a little hip. Lobo, you were spot on about Lobo. I thought Lobo was a interesting choice at this time.
But I think the right choice.
Yes, very good. Yeah,
I think the right choice. I think that one of the things we've always discussed is, like, when you're going to do something new, you want to add a fresh take to it. And, like, this Superman story, let's be honest, has been done billions of times. We've seen it. But this particular one wasn't. Like, the big thing I told you about was, like, the whole thing with him looking like the Rocketeer before he got his suit. That's something I haven't even read about. Like, oh, that's different. Like, and you told me it was in a comic book run that I've never read, which I actually have to pick it up, but the choice of Lobo was something just new and fresh, which I dug a lot. And when you bring somebody like Lobo in, I mean, it's easy to mess him up, but you had just enough Lobo in this movie that he wasn't annoying. That's the best way I could say.
Yeah, definitely was not annoying. He was almost, he was borderline fun. He was one that was bringing in knowledge to Superman. That he's the one that tells him who he is, that he's a Kryptonian. And this is the first time he's heard that word before. Mm-hmm. And he's definitely somebody that it helped him out more than normal. Normally Lobo comes in, he's just a pain and a pest to Superman. You see that kind of towards the end, there's a little comment about it, but really he's not that big of a pest. He's just Lobo. I mean, nobody knows what Lobo is, just pick up a comic book. I think there's one book, I have to remember what issue it is. It was when Lobo had his own series in the 90s. And I want to say it's like four or five. And literally the comic is literally a crotch shot of Lobo looking down at you as if you were down at crotch level. And he's just pointing at his package. So it's to me, and that just screams Lobo. Right there. Just the cover tells you everything you need to know about this guy. He's got tattoos. He smokes cigars. Lobo really was, and he has his moments that he is Wolverine. That is one that, we definitely know that he was a hint. There's a lot of Wolverine sprinkled into Lobo. But I think the overall, it was a great movie, great introduction to this world.
And little allusions to the bigger Justice League around. I mean, they mentioned somebody else from Gotham a couple times.
You see an article, news article once, and then you hear Martha make the comment about that nice boy from
from Gotham who wears the cape. Yeah. Which I was like, the nice boy.
I know. I was like, what's going on here? I can't wait for them to introduce Batman and see, is he the Boy Scout in this universe now?
I would love it. I don't know. But even like we said about Lobo, but even Parasite, choosing him as the first villain, was actually, I thought, okay, wait, this could be, I mean, despite the whole kaiju thing, which I hated. When he turned to the kaiju, I was like, come on. But everything involving his character, I dug. Like, I dug how the interaction between him and Superman, like, they're both aliens. And like, hey, and that whole speech that he had when he's talking
Parasite's not an alien. That was the whole conversation, was he's not the alien. Everybody was hating on Parasite.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm sorry.
He's not the alien.
He's the alien.
Yeah,
right.
He's the alien. Yeah, Superman's the alien. Parasite to me is, I mean, and so I will, I'm a diehard Superman mark, but Superman's gallery of rogues is lame. All right, I just got to throw it out there. If it's not a cosmic villain or Lex Luthor, for the most part, not cool. Parasite's one of the cooler ones. I think anytime I see a comic book with Parasite on it for Superman, I love it. They had an animated movie a little bit ago. You and I were talking about that last night too, and I just draw a blank on the name of it. All-Star Superman, where you see Superman being overpowered, and there's a whole scene of Superman being chased down by Parasite, or Clark's being chased down by Parasite, and Luthor's right next to him, and Clark's trying to hide the fact that the Parasite's after Clark, not Lex, because Parasite can see the power and the energy emanating off of Superman. Mm-hmm. Parasite is one of the better Earthbound villains for Superman, and I was really happy to see that, and to see just the treatment that they put off him, other than the, like you said, the kaiju.
Yeah, the whole kaiju transformation. Thing, like, yeah. I didn't think you were gonna notice that, but I was like, oh, you know, it actually is very noticeable. Yeah,
could I not?
It was really bad.
Yeah, I was.
It's a good way to start a new universe, and we're gonna see where they're gonna go from there. Yeah. I don't know what the next film in this universe is. I don't think there's anything coming up.
I think they're done for the year.
Yeah.
Next year, usually they're 2 to 3 a year. We had the Dark Justice League, or Justice League Dark. Sorry, mm-hmm. This one. And didn't we have another one at the beginning of the year?
Did we have the Wonder Woman one?
I kept looking the Wonder Woman moves in my head. I think this year we had three. Yes, we understand the COVID thing, but the animation teams are figuring ways of working things around so that we may have at least one or two next year. And hopefully those will be into those worlds, into expanding this world. They also, usually at least one of them, they throw out an Elseworld for us. Oh, no, it was Red Sun. Wasn't Red Sun this year?
Was that last year?
Maybe Wonder Woman. It might be Wonder Woman or Red Sun.
I think Wonder Woman was last year and Red Sun was this year.
Okay. So we've got another, they've got a massive catalog of Elseworld books that they can touch on, and who knows where they're going to go from there.
Metal's
not Elseworld. I'm talking a true Elseworld. Runs in 90. Well, that's everything they've done so far in Elseworld is that it falls under that. They've done Gotham by Gaslight, they've done Red Sun. Those are definitely true Elseworld ones. I would love to see them, and I think I had heard rumor of it that they were going to do Batman Ronin, which I think would be pretty cool to see.
That would be really cool
if they go that route. But there's so many other ones in there. There's the Bullet Speed, which is where instead of Batman, or instead of Bruce being born, the Waynes find Clark instead of the Kents.
Yeah.
And it's Clark Kent as Superman witnessing his parents being killed, and he turns into Batman. So imagine the dark and gritty side of Batman with Superman's powers, and instead of the cape and the cowl was open, it was all one piece. So that one, there's also I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's the one where Bruce picks up the Green Lantern instead. He gets the power ring.
Oh, yeah. That's one. Oh, I know that one.
And that's, I mean, they again, they have so many to choose from.
There's a lot. You said, there's a ton they could do. So whenever they could get around to releasing them, there's just so much for them in that catalog.
Yeah. And again, everything that they were talking about in Fandom, definitely said, animation is going to continue chugging along just like normal. So. And they still have the outlet of DC Universe to release those. Like I said, I haven't heard anything of the DC Universe going away. In fact, they reiterated during Fandom that it is not going away. It's just probably going to change its function, but it will still be there. Our second movie we saw, and actually you saw it first, so I'm going to let you take off on that one, was Bill and Ted's Face the Music.
I didn't know what to expect of it when I turned it on. And like I said, when I saw it, it was about Friday, about midnight, just got home from work. So I'm like, let me check this out. And I got to say, one of the big complaints I have about movies like this, it's an existing franchise, and you do a sequel like many, many, many years later, you could really screw it up. Zoolander is one that I can think of. Ghostbusters. But this one, what I dug is they actually kept that same tone while adding some new things into it. That's what I love. It's just like, okay, you had the two daughters in there. Okay, they could be throwaways. No, they're not throwaways. And they actually kept it in the same mythology. Wait a minute. They still have to write that song to save the world. Okay, they're right of who it is, but who brings the song together? that's the key point, and they kept that thing going. It was a nice little tribute to George Carlin, which I kind of dug. If you, you know, it's pretty quick, but it's in there. That was kind of cool.
Actually, there's a double. There's a, there's three nods to George Carlin in there. If you watch it, the one we see with Rufus, his daughter that's in there, her name is Kelly. George Carlin's daughter's name is Kelly. That was a second nod to George. And then actually Kelly Carlin was in the movie as well. George's real daughter. Yeah. She was the follower of Kelly in the movie.
Oh, really?
That was,
I didn't know that.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, there were two references to George Carlin, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah. So it was, that the Adam and I think somebody, I think Julie Andrews was in that movie too. If I'm not mistaken, she was one of the elder guards. It looked like her.
I don't believe sure, so, no. I don't that know, I'm, well, I'm looking at the like cast her. Right now, and I'm not, I don't see anything to...
Okay, well, I guess it just looked like her. But like I said, they kept that same vibe. The time travel element was kind of still kind of cool, keeping the box, and, you know, the kids are traveling time. The relationship with Death is hysterical. I love that part. Yeah. Why he left the band, and he's like, well, you had these 40-minute bass solos. I'm like, what? For
any bass player out there, guys, that is our scene. I'm an old-school bass player, and when I saw that, I was like, yes, Death, 40-minute solos. That's what you need.
40-minute solos. I'm like, what? He's like, we don't need 40-minute solos. That's why we kicked you out. And he got really creepy with Bill and Ted, started stalking him. I don't know. The whole backstory was kind of cool, so I dug it. I mean, like I said, they kind of really messed this movie up, made it silly and stupid. Actually, they had a shout out to Station,
which
brought in by Kid Cudi.
Yeah, Kid Cudi.
Kid Cudi, who's going to be the next Doctor Who now, because with all his knowledge of time travel, which I thought was hysterical. He's like, I know about time travel. I'm like, Kid Cudi knows about time travel and quantum physics. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I'll dig it.
We also had Missy returning, Amy Stoch, who actually played Missy back in the original.
And you had Ted's dad.
Yep, he returned. Yeah, the only people that did not return that were in prior ones were the princesses. They recast those.
Yeah, well, they were older. So
no, I mean, I was actually when they first announced this, I was like, oh, can they bring everybody back? And I'm checking the pictures of everybody, you know, on IMDb, and one of them I believe could have come back because she was looking really good. The other one, I was like, just clean yourself up a little bit, not to sound rude, but just, you know, they could have brought them back if they really wanted to, but I think just for time and just the amount of money probably that they had for this movie.
And it was mostly concentrating on the kids and Bill and Ted. It was not too much with the wives, although they did play a
they played a key part to this movie.
And seeing the different versions of Bill and Ted.
Awesome. Alex Winter still has it. I know nobody's seen him in a while as far as movies I can think of.
They both still have it. It's almost Keanu's, like they never
Keanu was
left.
Working, yeah. I was worried about Keanu returning, finding Bill again, or finding Ted, I mean, because he's been Wick, and he's been Neo, he's been a badass. So going back and finding that person again that you played 30 years ago, you know.
I just love the fact that there's, like, after all this time, there's still Bill and Ted. And even their dad calls him out. He's like, it's been 30 years. You still haven't written this song. You didn't time travel. He's like, your wives are working. You don't know this is all you do with your jobs. And he's like, look at your daughters. Your daughters are doing the same thing as you are. I died.
Yeah.
Their daughters. That's another thing that could have been horrible was the kids. Like, oh, no, there's going to be copycats of Bill and Ted. But they really weren't.
They had mannerisms, which I loved. I heard a woe, which I dug. I was like, yes, she pulled the woe off. Awesome.
Yeah, you got to have that. And then, like, when they do their own little Bill and Ted 2, when they're traveling through time, getting the different musicians, which I dug. I thought that was really cool. And the musicians they brought out was another cool part of it. You know, them going to Japan and getting Louis Armstrong. And that's the way they got Jimi Hendrix to join. I mean, that's just so many cool things in there. Like I said, the movie could have failed. I mean, we've talked about, you know, Ghostbusters, how basically when they made that film, they kind of crapped in the past. They're basically, oh, that never happened. You know, who cares? This movie embraces the past. And it still wrinkles in some new things, which is what you have to do. You've got to sprinkle it up for a new audience. And when you do that, you already got me. You got you. But you got to get everybody else on.
I think if they give it a chance, I think that everybody's going to be extremely surprised of how much fun this was. What I loved, I mean, you got to look at the cast as well. You had Holland Taylor on there. If anybody's familiar with Two and a Half Men, she plays their mother. She killed it on there as the new leader, because obviously the other actor that played him, or not actor but musician that played the leader, has passed away. You even had God, who was it that played the robot, or Dennis? Who played Dennis?
You mean Caleb Dennis?
Yes,
Caleb or something.
Anthony Kerrigan. I mean, again, another great actor who you just wouldn't, you know, who you're surprised to see doing something like that. And he was the best, probably one of the best parts of this.
I didn't even see it coming. It's kind of like when you saw Station in part two. Station is a character that could have been stupid, but he wasn't.
No.
This, whatever they call him, Dennis Caleb something, he was hysterical.
McCoy is
Dennis Caleb Hoy, yeah. And apparently that's Kelly's boyfriend. I was like, oh, this is his.
She named, I guess her mother named him after her boyfriend. It wasn't her boyfriend, but I guess the end it looks like they're, you know, together. But yeah, he's an emotional, insecure, time-traveling robot sent by the great leader to kill Bill and Ted. There are hints of both the old movies, which I thought was okay. I was like, wow, they did exactly what I thought they were going to do. They retold the two movies, but in one, in a way. And then just sprinkled in some new stuff, and I thought it was great. I think the best part was the end. I mean, I've got the goosebumps like I did when I saw the end of the first movie, when I saw the end of the second movie, you know, when they're playing the music, you know, the special song, and the same thing happened, what I loved, it was almost a nod to the time we're living in, because it was almost as if those were COVID pictures of people doing air guitar at home, and you know, those all were like Zoom meetings or something, and I just love that.
The part that hit me the biggest feels, and I don't know how you feel about this, is like, where they're trying to figure out who wrote the song, and Bill and Ted look at the pics they have, and they have the names on there.
Oh, those weren't the pics. That was actually the MP3.
MP3
got broken.
Okay, and they had the names, and they basically said the names of their daughters, and it was like, you're the ones who makes this song, put it all together, and they gave it to them. I was like, you know what? That hit me. I was like, okay, you got me. You went for the jugular and you won.
Yeah. Yep.
But definitely worth, even if you've never seen the first two Bill and Ted movies, I would recommend you do. If you haven't seen them,
you don't really need to.
You don't really.
They run through the gamut. But I think to catch the cool moments, to catch the inside jokes, the whole inside joke with Missy during the wedding, where they're like, that you got to see. And just the other jokes that are in there that you may not catch. There are some inside jokes. But right now, guys, we are in a strange time, and there are a lot of drama and things going on, and you need a lighthearted movie just to enjoy. This is it. It checks you out from everything that's going on. You know, we've got the elections going on. We've got the COVID recovery. We've still got just so much stuff going on out in the real world. This is a great palate cleanser for your head just to check out for a minute.
It was great. Like I said, I'll probably end up watching it again because I liked it so much. I actually probably like it more than the second one now. The first one's still the first one, but I'm like, this one is really good. You know, they kind of pulled it off. So it's kind of like one of those remakes or sequels to movies that actually worked.
Yes, yes. And that actually leads directly into our subject for today. We're going to just discuss the idea of remaking movies and TV shows. It looks like Hollywood may have found, and I don't want to say Hollywood as a person, but you know, the Hollywood has been having hit or misses with remakes. And literally in the last 2 years, it seems to hit it off perfect. We have Bill and Ted Face the Music. You and I did a review a couple of months ago about Scooby. You know, we talked about how great Scooby was and how it hit the mark. It paid tribute, but we moved forward. You know, there's a whole bunch out there. Twilight Zone, the series Twilight Zone just, you know, is hitting on all cylinders. Jumanji, when they came back out with Jumanji with The Rock and Kevin Hart, that's hitting. Tron, you know, if we want to push it a little bit further back, you can go to Tron. Netflix with She-Ra, Voltron, and they just, you know, it was a YouTube series, but Cobra Kai just hit Netflix now. And now people that didn't know about it, to the YouTube can now watch Cobra Kai, who is it's a continuation of the Karate Kid series.
It is, by the way, to stay on that note, it's the number one show on Netflix right now, is Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
It replaced Lucifer and something else, but it's the number one
show right now, and it's great. I've gotten a few people that have never gotten a chance to watch it because they didn't understand how to watch TV on YouTube. I was like, hey, now it's on Netflix. Go watch it. And they're just blown away and amazed by how they've continued and picked it up. So it seems like Hollywood has done it. We've had our bad moments, guys. You know, Kane mentioned Ghostbusters. You look at TV series like 90210 that came back for a season and dropped. The Charlie's Angels series, Terminator 3, the last Terminator movies after number 3. And some will even argue Star Trek and Star Wars have lost it because they haven't recaptured what those folks are looking for. And I think a lot of times those anger issues are... that's something that was special to us and that we love what that is, but we have to learn as a generation. We are a very spoiled generation, us Gen Xers. We have to understand that if we want to continue to love this product and to see this product grow, it has to grow and change with the environment that we're in now, the society that we're in. So we have to let go of some of those preconceived notions that Star Wars and Star Trek have to be what we remember, because if it doesn't change, guys, it's gonna die. Those series, any series for that matter, that you guys love as fans, you gotta open your mind up to let that loosen up that grip that this is mine and don't change it, because new people are writing those series, new people are watching those series, and it's not us anymore. It is a new generation, but they're still paying homage to what we knew and what we love. Just you guys got to let it go. Like I said, if you hold on too tight and if you will never let something change, it's just gonna die because nobody new is going to want to watch it. But
one of the biggest things that, you know, to allude to that basically is what I've always said before. When you're going to bring something back that has been gone for a while, you have to still embrace the past.
Yeah.
While sprinkling in some new things. I think for me, and I know everybody take a shot, the Doctor Who series, when it came back on in 2000, like, they had been off the air for like literally 5-10 years, and you could have literally brought it back the same way, or you can update it with the times. And the best thing about that is they updated it with this time, but still embracing the past.
Right.
And that's what you have to do when you go forward with these movies. Like, don't forget the past, but, you know, embrace it and put some new things in there for the new audience to come in. Like, oh, okay, I like this now. Like, oh, it was an old movie back then, but now you're throwing in something for me, for this generation. You do that, you're going to have a winner. That's what Bill and Ted did very successfully. Scooby.
Yeah, Scooby. The same Scooby thing. Was definitely, you know, did that.
Scooby was like all about that, but they still threw in some new things. I mean, it's hard, like you just said, it's hard. You're holding on so tight. No, this is mine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not letting it go. But, you know, if you don't let it go, it's going to, like you said, it's going to die.
Yep. Now, we do have some new ones coming down the pike. We do have some new shows. We have the He-Man animated series. I know you were not a fan of the second, I think, not the second He-Man. No, I think, I'm sorry, we were talking about the Thundercats, which is now, both of them are now actually on Hulu, the old series of Thundercats and the remake, which I'm a fan of the remake. But He-Man animation is coming down, which I think was kind of triggered because of She-Ra. She-Ra did so great on Netflix. The Matrix, you know, that's kind of going to be a sort of rebirth for the Matrix. We got Buffy the Vampire Slayer getting ready to be redone. You know, that's going to be there's a generation and a group of fans that have not yet had to face up to this stuff. And I can't wait to see what happens there.
I can't wait. The message boards or whatever sites they're going to be on. Yeah. I want to be on there day and night. Oh, yeah. Their reacts, those fans are.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh boy.
We also have, you know, Dune's getting ready to be remade. They're talking about revamping up a Stargate series, which are Stargate movie series. And then for you, I'm going to pull a Band-Aid off for you, buddy. You ready for it?
Okay, go ahead.
The Thing is being redone by Blumhouse.
Yeah, but John Carpenter is going to be involved.
Exactly. So
that's the big thing.
Again, they're paying homage. They're bringing in, I'm sure he's going to be involved, but he won't be the director. I bet you he'll be there like, hey, maybe this is what we did.
Well, look at what happened with Halloween. Halloween, he was involved with it. It basically was the sequel to the first movie. And the same thing. They embraced the past, but added some new elements to the future. Yep. Like, even John Carpenter's kid does, like, half the soundtrack in that movie. Like, half his dad does, and half he does. And you can hear the old John, and then you can hear his kid. Like, that mixture of that soundtrack was really cool, because it's like, they updated it.
Yeah, exactly.
And didn't miss a beat.
So, my question to you, and I've got my little list here, because we talked about this earlier.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
What do you, in your heart, we've talked about things that are coming out already, all right? I know I've missed a few things, so don't hurt me, guys. So, what do you think... What would you like to see remade? Maybe not remade, maybe redone or sequelized, TV or movies. I'm pretty much movies. So you're probably in the same.
I'm pretty much movies as well. Well, the first one that pops into my head that was a great first movie that they have never done a sequel to, which boggles my mind, is District 9. I love District 9. Everything about District 9 was great. I'm like, oh, God, you have this world where aliens are basically being, treated as slaves. You get out of here for the humans. It was so interesting, that world. And everything I forgot who did it. Was Neil Blomkamp? I think Blomkamp did it, yeah. And he did some other garbage movies after that. But he's never done a sequel to District 9. And I thought there was a lot more story to tell. Literally, the ending was like a sort of a cliffhanger. So... where's District 9 at?
Yeah.
I mean, he did, what did he do? Chappie. He did Equal Elysium, which they were all like garbage films to me. Where's that film?
Yeah, exactly.
That's another one. I'm like, I've been waiting for District 9 sequel for a long time. Do that one. I mean, hell. I mean, he's been doing some stuff on YouTube right now with his production company. Some like little skits, which are really cool. Check it out. But District 9 is the big one for me. Like, come on. Like, I know it made a decent amount of change. But the box office, and where's that?
Yeah, true.
Where's my District 9 sequel?
Definitely, yeah. Mine are all going to probably be more remakes. So I'm going to hurt some feelings here, especially some King fans. Sorry, guys.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to lump them together. I believe, you may be upset with me too. Hold on. I believe that there are three King movies I think could be remade and like take advantage and actually, be better nowadays with the technology that's out. And it could get a little bit grittier too. Cujo, Maximum Overdrive, and The Running Man. I believe those three could benefit from remakes now. With the technology and the writing styles that are out now, Cujo and the Dark Cujo, because it's a very simple move, simple, but I think it can be a little bit better with more of the CGI that they could probably do and get away with now. Because beforehand, Cujo was it was a real life dog, so that they can get a little away with a little bit more, I think.
Make it bigger, make it more bat-like.
Maybe? Something maybe vicious, more vicious. Something scary. Like, imagine a Cujo with a Blumhouse. I'm going to throw these guys with Blumhouse.
I was just thinking about Blumhouse doing Cujo.
Cujo and Maximum Overdrive, straight up, I think Blumhouse would do great because I've seen what they've done. Running Man, I just think it could just use an updated version of it.
Especially nowadays. I mean, you literally could set Running Man today.
Yeah.
You don't have to go like too far in the future.
It's not that far because when you watch any of these reality shows, the Great Race or whatever they're doing now.
Running Man.
Yeah. It's a type of Running Man, but have it more where it is prisoners and political ones. And I mean, they've sort of done that. The Austin one that he did, Condemned. It's very Running Man-esque, but I think a better budget one I think would do really good.
Didn't they do a movie that was called War last year that was similar to that? Basically,
there's a few out there that are like that.
A couple, but
I mean, a straight up Running Man redone with the King script. I just think it would definitely do better. I think
I would do Mystery Men. Mystery Men is the one that's dying for a remake. That movie, when it came out, was criminally underrated.
Oh, I love that. That one, I think it should stay as it is. It is what it is for
You could update a new Mystery Men. Why not? I mean, you don't make it gritty, but or do a sequel to it. Like
a sequel, I'd go sequels. Yeah, I'd definitely go sequel, but I wouldn't do a remake on that one.
Even Galaxy Quest. Actually, no, don't do Galaxy Quest because the Orville kind of took over for Galaxy Quest. Now that I think about it, that's a bad one.
Yeah.
What about Hancock? Hancock is a good one.
I just know because Hancock's fine. I think I look at movies that need that when they came out, they were bad for the time, but with a tweak, with a peppering of technology nowadays, I've got a couple of other horror movie ones. Reanimator. You remember Reanimator?
Oh my God.
I mean, Repo Man. Look at Repo Man. Repo Man would be great right now because of it's an alien, you know, detective styling. I think that would definitely work.
You could fit that into the world of District 9, actually. That could be a cool, actually, sequel. You just do that element of District 9, like a detective sort of alien. I would dig it. I'm trying to think of another one right now because the ones I have over here, Mystery Men, I thought about. Dread, they're going to get a series.
Yeah, but again, Dread doesn't need it. Dread was good. When what I was trying to talk about was ones that were movies that were put out that really deserve. Highlander deserves a better sequel. The original Highlander could. The sequels I got were horrible.
Ooh.
You know, they definitely could, you know, use a sequel. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen deserves a retry.
What about Christine? Christine is one that could do a new one.
It could do a new one, but it doesn't need to be done, though. I look at movies that need it. He-Man or Masters of the Universe.
I like that movie.
But it
What about The Breakfast Club? Like a new version of The Breakfast Club?
No, you don't do it. No.
Why not?
Because it doesn't need it. It's a classic already. What I was talking about was movies that need a tweak, a remake that could benefit from it. The Last Airbender, all right?
That's one.
Horrible movie. That one is – go back and redo that.
Oh, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Evolution. My God, do a correct version of Dragon Ball Z.
Doom. I mean, if you look at Doom, the original –
No, actually, they did a sequel to Doom, which actually –
Not
I
a
liked.
Sequel, a re
well, it was a retelling. It was a retelling. Yeah. It was Doom Retribution or something it was called. It went straight to streaming. I won't say VOD. But that was when they reimagined it. That was more closer to the game. I dug that one.
Right.
Not many people saw that one.
Well, no, those are ones I could, you know, when I say not ones that were great. I'm talking about crap movies that came out and could really benefit from it. Basically every video game movie ever made. You know, lately they've been actually kind of hitting the video game movies. They've actually been pretty good. Sonic seemed to be doing okay.
I like Sonic. That was good.
Pokemon, Detective Pokemon. I know that was borderline video game-ish. That one did great. So, I mean, they have been trying to redo them. That's why I was saying Hollywood has somehow found that formula and is now using it. So, I mean, just those are ones I could definitely see. You know, getting done. The Howling, I think, would be a great one. Just because of it is a cult favorite. I don't want to touch the cult favorites that so much, but I think it could do, you know, again, benefit from the technology that we have now to clean it up. Another one, you know, this is one's kind of a touchy. The Last Starfighter. I think you and I talked about that. I think that could be, you know, redone for today, especially in the video.
They've been talking about remaking the movie for so long.
Yeah, they
though.
Have. Yeah.
It's just, what was that one movie that they've been talking about doing? The Crow. That's another one.
Yeah.
There's one, The Crow. That deserves an update if we ever get one. I mean, we've been talking about that for almost years now.
Yeah.
I don't think they're ever going to do it, but there's one.
And there's one. There's one. It's probably a very sensitive one, but I think To Kill a Mockingbird could use an update.
Kill a Mockingbird is another one that could do some improvement.
Not an improvement. I would agree with that. It just could be updated.
Reimagining
for today. So.
There's a couple other ones out there now that I'm just thinking. There's a couple of spinning my heads. What was the one vampire one that's pretty good? Not Fright Night. It was another particular vampire movie.
Yeah,
because
Fright Night's already been redone.
Yeah, Fright Night was actually the remake for Fright Night. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
There's a couple of vampire ones I can't think of on the top of my head. Anyway.
I mean, even if you even got movies like the 13th Warrior, it was good, but it could do a little bit better, I think.
What was that one samurai movie of Wolf and Cub? Wolf and Lone Wolf. That's a overseas movie. I think it's called Wolf and Cub. Wolf and Cub. It was a comic book that they translated, and I forgot. That's one they could use for a remake. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of them are horror movies too. Like horror movies, you definitely could update it. Exterminator, Class of Nukem High. Yeah.
Now, speaking of remake, there's one I always thought that they'd have done. They've done it a billion times in different TV series, different movies, but Groundhog's Day. Now, there is one movie that has come out recently that is Groundhog's Day redone. It's on Hulu. It's called Palm Springs.
I haven't seen that. I've heard of
it. It's got Sandberger from Lonely Island, Saturday Night Live, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He basically plays this character who is stuck in a time loop and it's caused because of an earthquake that opens up like this temporal portal, and he accidentally walks through it. Well, the second he walked through it, he got stuck in this time loop at this wedding with his girlfriend that he can't stand, he wants to get rid of, who's cheating on him. And so he just lives his life just over and over and over and over again. At some point, he meets a gentleman there. They get along. They become kind of buddies through this. And he shows this gentleman the time loop. And it's I'm drawing a blank on his name. I can see it right in front of my face. But he plays J. Jonah Jameson. Thank you.
Yeah.
What the hell is this? Simmons.
Simmons. J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons plays this character, this person, and who goes back in time, but now he, for some reason, he decides that he wants to hunt this other person. He wants to hunt Andy down. Just randomly, because what happens is when you wake up in the same place you were that morning. Well, Andy woke up at the hotel. J. Simmons woke up in his home, two towns over. He drove to the wedding. So sometimes he stays home. Sometimes he comes over and shoots him, just for the fun of it.
just hunts him down.
Yeah. And then eventually Andy meets this another woman, a woman there, and they kind of fall in love. And she accidentally follows him into the portal. He got shot, and he started running to the portal, and so now what happens is she gets stuck in this time loop with him, and they hit it off, and they have fun, and then at one point her way of waking up is she's waking up in the bed of her sister's fiance, who is getting married that day.
Oh boy!
So she's like, she can't deal with it anymore. So it's this great Groundhog's Day retelling. And just with a sci-fi twist, a comedy twist. The actress that plays her, I'm horrible with her because I don't see her in much, but you would know, and I'm sure some of the listeners would know, from How I Met Your Mother. She was the mother.
Oh, that's Christine Milioti,
right? Yeah, she's in this. So she does a great job. JK does a great job, and Andy does. I mean, it's just so much fun, and just the stuff they get away with. Very similar to any show or anything that you've seen is people get stuck in this Groundhog Day loop. I think probably one of my favorite ones is from the Stargate series when they get stuck in the loop and they just go around and you see them goofing around, putting, you know, shooting golf balls through the Stargate as it's activated, and you know, just doing all sorts of things. So that's got a remake in a way. It wasn't called Groundhog's Day, but it's called Palm Springs. Check it out on Hulu, guys. It is really fun.
And, I'll have to check it out now. Now that you've actually seen it, I'll have to give it a look.
I was like, man, it keeps popping up, and I've heard, I love Andy, and I saw who the rest of the cast was. I'm like, okay, I got to check this out because I love them all.
That's what I got to check out. So. Yep.
All right, guys. Well, that is it for our show today. Make sure you guys do check us out on heroesasylum.com. You will find our show, or you'll see a lot of our links to our different to the Midnight Movie, which last week we did release Captain America's Civil War. And you also, one nice thing about our homepage is you don't have to be a member of our social media. We love you to be. But on that page, you can see all of our social media on the main page. You can see everything that's going on, as well as some of our affiliate links to other folks that are support the show. But then you can also click on our social media, and it'll take you over to where, Kane?
Twitter page at @TheHeroesAsylum_pod. Tongue twister. Instagram at @TheHeroesAsylum. I usually do some stuff on Twitter and Instagram. Actually, lately, especially on Instagram, I post some weird photos, me or some other comic books that I'm reading. But from the captain to me to you, get to the asylum.